Today is the day we honor Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., the preacher and activist who pricked the conscience of a nation. It was King who moved the civil rights crusade from the pulpits of his Native American South to the halls of Congress and beyond. King's hopes and dreams were expressed in both biblical eloquence and a steely resolve to push our nation to live up to the professed ideal of our founding document, that all are created equal. Yet 7 years into the administration of our first African-American president, race relations in our state and nation seem stuck as if centuries of discrimination have overwhelmed decades of progress. From California to Cranston, it often seems if we've forgotten or choose to ignore King's message. Here we are in 2016, and not one African-American actor is among the Oscar nominees. Closer to home, a Cranston police recruiting drive that began with a focus on racial and gender diversity has resulted in 5 white males as finalists for jobs. Winning the White House and blathering on about minority recruiting has not meant anything near full equality for people who were forced to our shores in chains. King spoke in Rhode Island during his civil rights crusade in the 1960s. At Brown University, shortly after John F. Kennedy's election in 1960, King hailed the election of the first Roman Catholic president as a victory for tolerance and called for an interracial civil rights coalition. At the University of Rhode Island in 1966, King was more downcast. He told a crowd of 5,000 that he feared the nation had taken a, quote, swing to the reactionary that would result in more schisms in the civil rights movement. While many individual Rhode Islanders, black and white, were involved in King's civil rights revolution, our small, overwhelmingly white state was not in the forefront of the movement. Blacks had lived in Rhode Island since the 1600s, but never made up more than 8% of the population until the late 1960s. Providence was the center of the black community in Rhode Island, but no black person was hired as a police officer in the capital city until after World War II. The black community is still underrepresented in public employment in the city, especially in the police, fire, and school departments, as well as in top city hall positions. Things aren't any better at the State House, where just 2 members of Governor Gina Raimondo's cabinet are African Americans. Just 1 black sits as a judge in the state's court system. And House Speaker Nick Mattiello of Cranston made news last year when he denied that there was such a thing as white privilege. This remark astonished black leaders, who wondered how such a politically astute man could be so ignorant of history. Jim Vincent, president of the NAACP in Providence, says that both Raimondo and Providence Mayor Jorge Elorza can do better. Some Rhode Island institutions have done better than others in embracing diversity, but most of us have not done our best in either the public or private sectors. The national economy is undeniably better under President Obama than it was the day he took office. But sometimes it seems as if a rising economic tide has mostly lifted the yachts, not the boats, especially those rowed by people of color. A liberal economic think tank, the Economic Progress Institute, shows that Rhode Island blacks have a median income of about $36,000 a year. That's compared to roughly $59,000 for whites. 1 out of every 4 black adults lack a high school degree, to say nothing of the overrepresentation of blacks and other minorities at the state prison and the low rate of black graduates from the University of Rhode Island. Today we celebrate King's career and mission in song, sermon, and remembrance. As we join hands for We Shall Overcome, let's not dwell too much on how far we've come. Let's honestly assess how far we have to travel and accelerate our collective journey to a society where the content of one's character counts more than the color of one's skin.